Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Chof Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we will be introduced to the topic that will be discussed in the upcoming section. The topic heading, the Nose, number 1, Behemo Chetzio Shel Nochri VeChetzio Shel Yisrael, an animal that is jointly held partially by a non-Jew and partially by a Jew. Mahu l'shachta b'yom tov, is one allowed to slaughter such an animal on Yom Tov? Now, it goes without saying, as we have seen quite often in the past, that shchita, that slaughtering of animals, is allowed on Yom Tov, as it is under the realm of melechos oichel nefesh, melechos that are allowed to be done, melechos activities that are food-oriented, and hence they are allowed on Yom Tov. Of course, in contrast to Shabbos, where that would be strictly forbidden. However, here we're dealing with an animal that is partially owned by a non-Jew, and one is not allowed to engage in melachos for a non-Jew on Yom Tov, and that is the result of a gzeros hakosuv, that we have learned in the past, lochem, and we saw lochem v'lo le'ovdei kochavim. What about in this case where the animal is partially owned by a Jew as well? That's one topic. The second topic will be along the same lines, however, it deals with dough. Esau, number 2 in our introduction, Esau chetzio shel goy v'chetzio shel Yisrael, mahu lefosa, a batter that's partially owned by a non-Jew and partially owned by a Jew. What is the din with regard to baking it? The batter, let's say a hunk of dough, which is 50% owned by the Jew and 50% owned by the non-Jew, we will discover in the Gemara, is quite different than the animal in the sense that the dough can be split before the actual baking takes place, so that as far as the melacha of afiyah, the melacha of baking is concerned, it can be done on a piece of the dough that is exclusively owned by the Jew. That's in contrast to the behemah, that the one act of shechita is necessary in order to gain halachic access to the meat. So now, with that having been said, we turn to the Gemara. 5 lines from the top at the 2 dots. Bo mine Rav Avya Savo me Rav Huna. Rav Avya asks of Rav Huna, Behemo chetzio shel nochi v'chetzio shel Yisrael, an animal that's owned half by a non-Jew and half by a Jew, mahu l'shachto b'yom tov, is one allowed to slaughter it on Yom Tov? Omar Lei, Rav Huna answers, Mutter, it is allowed. Omar Lei, and Rav Avya says back, V'chima bein zeh l'nidorim unadavas, what's the difference between this case of the animal partially owned by the Jew and the case that we have discussed at a great extent in our previous shiurim, the issue of sacrifices that are of a voluntary nature that we say are not allowed to be brought on Yom Tov? Now, what's the nature of the Nedarim Nedafis? Part of it is eaten by the owner, and the other part is offered on the Mizbeach. So we say that it is partially Hedyot and partially Gavoa. And there, where you have this partial situation, and granted that the part that is Logavoa, one is not allowed to do because it's not considered Oichel Nefesh, it's not considered your food purposes. And there we see one is not allowed. When it comes to the Behemo Chetzio Shel Nochi V'Chetzio Shel Yisrael, we are allowing it. Omar Lei, so Rav Huna answers with a non-answer. Urva Porach, he said, a bird just flew by. This is an attempt, and we'll see, and as the Gemara unfolds, he doesn't answer the question. He tries to change the topic. Kinofak, when Rav Avya, who had asked the question, walked out, Omale Rabo Brei. Rabo, the son of Rav Huna, turns to his father and says, wasn't that Rav Hainu Rav Avya Savo? Wasn't that Rav Avya? Rav Avya Savo de Mishtabich Leimor Begavei, that you have praised him. Begavei means in him, but you have praised him, the Gavra Rabahu, that he's a great man. How is it that a man of such stature, you don't answer? In fact, you give him this offhanded answer, and he walks out in an embarrassed or disparaged fashion. Omar Le, Rav Huna answers, my Avid Le, what can I do? Ani Hayom, I today, Posik is quoted describing, I am today fatigued, and I haven't eaten anything, and he's asking me a question that requires some thought. And he says, so Rav Huna says to his son, I am today Samchuni Vashishois Rabduni Batapuchim. And Rashi, in dealing with the Posik, he says, Yom Tov Hu, it was a holiday, V'dorashti L'Rabim, and I just finished a public lecture, V'cholisi Mitorah Hadrasha, and I've become weakened, sickened from the exertion of the public address, V'kore Ani Olai, and I refer to myself, Samchuni Bashishus, Havili Se'udo Vesar, first give me a meal so that I can eat. And as we said, and he asked of me, Ubo Aminoi Milso Debaya Taima, the Gemara says, he asked of me something that requires analysis, and therefore I wasn't able to answer him. So, okay, that having been said, the time of my, so we want to still know what is the reason that with regard to the behemo, chetzi shel norchi v'chetzi shel Yisrael, half owned by a Jew, half owned by non-Jew, Rav Huna allows that, and when it comes to nedarim and nedavos, half relevant to the owner and half relevant to the Almighty, do we say there, you're not allowed? So the Gemara answers, Behemo chetzio shel nochri v'chetzio shi Yisrael mutar l'shochta b'yom tov, the animal that's partially owned by the Gentile, partially owned by the Jew, one is allowed to shecht it on yom tov, di efshuli kezayas boser below shchita. It's impossible to gain access to even an olive quantity of meat without doing the act of shchita. So there's a singular act of shchita that we have to allow so that you gain access to your part of the meat. Avol nedarim nedavos aser l'shochton b'yom tov. With regard to nedarim nedavos, there we forbid their slaughter on Yom Tov. The Kohanim, ki kazachu, the Kohanim who get their portion of the sacrifice, and this applies to the owner as well regarding the rest of the meat. The Kohanim get the chazev ashok, the breast and the leg of the animal, and the owner gets the rest of the meat. But when they get it, ki kazachu, when they merit it or get it, or acquire it, mishulchan gavoa kazoch, they are in effect acquiring it from the heavenly table, which really means when the shechita is done, really the whole thing, it's a sacrifice, it has sanctity, so the whole act is for the Almighty. As after that, the Almighty grants the owner and the Kohen a portion of that which was offered upwards. So you can see there's a difference with regard to the common animal that's jointly owned with a Jew and non-Jew. The initial act of slaughter is for the owner, directly for the owner. Whereas in the case of the slaughter of Nedarim and Nedavos, the initial act of slaughter is not for a person, it's for the Almighty. And since it's in the realm of Nedarim and Nedavos, meaning it's a voluntary offering, it's not a holiday-related offering, so there's no right to do that. The Pasuk says, Lochem, for you, you're allowed to do Melechas Eichon Nefesh, and from this we derive, Lochem v'lo l'gavoa, not for on high, not for the Almighty. We continue. And with Rav Chista cites this halacha of the slaughtering, and he will then lead us into the issue of the baking that we introduced earlier. Omar Rav Chista, Behemo chetzio shel nochri v'chetzio shel Yisrael mutar l'shochta b'yom tov. the animal partially owned by the Gentile and partially owned by the Jew, you are allowed to slaughter it on Yom Tov. The Efshali Kazayas Boser, it's impossible to have even an olive quantity of kosher meat below Shechita without a proper Shechita. Esau Chetzio Shel Nochri V'Chetzio Shisrael, a batter of dough, half owned by non-Jew, half owned by Jew, Osir Le'afosa B'Yom Tov. You are not allowed to bake the entire batter on Yom Tov. It's possible to split the batter at the kneading stage. So if, let us say, there was a kneaded batter, and now it's Yom Tov, and that batter of dough, that hunk of dough, is partially owned by the Jew and partially owned by the non-Jew, so you're not allowed to bake the entire hunk of dough, because you can split it and bake the Jewish half, which is that which in fact is allowed. The other half is not sanctioned for malacha performance on Yom Tov, the part owned by the non-Jew. The Gemara, as we go on, we provide an additional marking in order to keep track of the back and forth nature of this Gemara. We have a ma'akav, and this is under our Mivneh heading. The ma'akav is to keep track with the volcano shape employed. The narrow part facing up represents kushos, or questions, and the inverted volcano are tshuvos, responses. Mosiv Rav Chona bar Chaniloi. Rav Chona raises an objection from a source. Taneg source, Isas Klovim, dough that is used to make food for dogs. I would say dog biscuits, but that might give an incorrect impression, but it's Isa, it's dough for dogs. Bizman Sharoy Oichlimimena, when shepherds eat from it, Chayeves Bechala, there are a number of halachas here that are say dough related, food related, but they are not related to our topic. So we'll mention them. We're not going to elaborate. We're going to focus only on that which is dashed underline the next line that we'd really have to focus on. So this kind of dough, if the shepherds who work alongside whom the dogs operate, so if the shepherds eat from this dough, from this, when it's baked, they eat from it. So then, chayeves b'challah, the challah tithe must be removed from it. That's the tithe given to kohanim from dough. Uma'arvin bo, umishtatfin bo. They can be used in the context, the dough, the whatever cakes or loaves that you make from it can be used for an eruv chatzeros, for a sheet of muvos, which are Shabbos related matters. Umivorchin oleha, and you would make a bracha before eating it, umizamnin olel, and it would be after eating you would make a birchas hamazon with a zimun. Three people who ate together would have a zimun and recite over it the birchas hamazon. V'nefes b'yom tov, and this is what we've dashed under on. This is the main point for us. This is, it can be baked on Yom Tov because of the portion that the shepherds eat from. So it indicates we're going to bake the entire batter because of the portion that the shepherds will eat from. The Odom Yoitse Bo Yedei Chavasu B'Pesach, and if it has not been allowed to sit and ferment and rise, it can be used as matzah as well for Pesach. V'amai. Our question is, why are we allowing the baking of this entire batter on Yom Tov? It was possible to have split the batter at the kneading stage, and the portion that the shepherds eat so that you can bake, the other portion is for the dogs, and that's not something you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov, because once again the Pasuk says Lochem, that which is for your consumption, not for your animal's consumption. So what do we see from here? We see that even when it comes to a batter that's only partially for someone for whom you can violate malachas and do it, we're allowing you to go to do more and not expecting you to split it. So the same thing should be with regard to the dough partially owned by the Jew and partially owned by the non-Jew. The Gemara answers, Shiny, he says, Klavim, the case of the dog dough is different. Hoyol ve'efsher lefaison b'nevela. Now the word hoyol we've dashed on the line. This becomes a subtopic. Do we? The answer that he's giving right now is that you, since in potential, if you would have some nevela meat. Nevela is meat that is from an animal that dropped dead. You can't eat it, but your dogs are allowed to eat it. If you would have that kind of meat and feed that to the dogs instead of the dough, then the dough would be exclusively for person consumption. So since in theory, you can appease the paison. If you look at the word phonetically, you can see the word appease, except for the A part of it, but the rest of it looks like the word appease, and that's what it means. You could appease, since in theory, that's the expression, hoyol ve'efsher, since in theory, you could feed the dog something else. Therefore, the baking, in our eyes, is going to be exclusively for the person, for the people's consumption. And that's why it's allowed. So that the issue of the dogs is different than the case of the Esau, Chetze Shel Nochri v'Chetze Shel Yisrael. The Gemara asks, Umi Islei L'Rav Chista Hoyol, does Rav Chista subscribe to this? And Rav Chista, of course, is the author of this sugya. It was Rav Chista who said that the Esau Chetzi Shel Nochri V'Chetzi Shel cannot be baked in its entirety, and Rav Chana had asked on him, and here it's Rav Chista who's giving this answer of Hoyil. So the Gemara is challenging that. Does Rav Chista really hold from this concept, this idea that since in theory, if you would have Nevela, you could appease the dogs with that, making the rest of the dough exclusively for human consumption, therefore we are lenient and allow you to bake the entire dough. But does Rav Chista really subscribe to that analysis that looks at the theory? V'ho itmar, ho'ife, hasn't it been said, ho'ife miyom tov l'chol, someone who bakes on Yom Tov after he finished all his Yom Tov meals. He finished his Yom Tov eating. And he bakes on Yom Tov for the weekday. And that was for after Yom Tov. Rav Chista Omar Loike Rabo Omar Eino Loike. Rav Chista says he's worthy of being lashed. He's guilty of being lashed, and Rabbo says not so. Rav Chista Omar Loike, Chista says a person who baked on Yom Tov for a weekday after he finished his Yom Tov meals, he has violated Yom Tov, and that's why he gets lashes. And the explanation is, Lo Amrinun, we don't look at this in its potential. We don't say the following, Hoyo Mikli Le Orchim, Chazi Lei, since in the event that even a person who finishes Yom Tov meals, if guests would drop in on him on Yom Tov, he would have this to feed the guests, so it would have been a Yom Tov baking. Hashtonami Chazi Lei. So to now, even if there aren't actually guests, we would say it's fit for him. So all of that, notice we have a phrase marking around this last line and a half. We don't say that. We don't look at things in the theory. In other words, if you don't have actual guests that are coming, the fact that in theory guests could come and the baking would have been for them, that doesn't get the guy off the hook. If he, after he finished his Yom Tov eating, he goes and bakes for the weekday. So even though in theory, the baking that he did for the weekday could have in fact be used to serve guests that come in the latter hours of Yom Tov day, that doesn't get the guy off the hook in Rav Chizah's opinion. Rabba, on the other hand, Omar Eino Loke, that a person who bakes from Yom Tov for the weekday doesn't deserve getting lashed. Amrinon Hoyil. Rabbo says we do look at the theory. So at. With this then in mind, Rav Chisda is not someone who will allow for leniency based on what could in potential happen. If that be the case, so then why before did Rav Chisda explain the baking of the dough, the dog dough, as being allowed because of the, in theory, you could, if you would have had Nevela, you could have appeased the dogs with that, making the whole baking for the people. The Gemara response, Elo, lo tema hoyel v'efsher. Don't say, notice we have little arrows to the side of the Gemara, align this with what we had above. Don't say hoyel v'efsher, since in theory you could have appeased the dogs, Ella. Rather, the case there in the of the Tanaic source that allows the baking of the entire batter for the of the dog dough is kigon de is le nevela. He actually has nevela. De vadai efsher lefaison benevela. Now we've dashed on the line the word de vadai. This is in contrast with the idea of in theory. Here he definitely has the ability. He has the actual ability to appease the dogs with the nevela meat. And therefore, the baking of the Isas Klovim will be allowed. Again, not because in theory he could appease the dogs if he would have had Nevela. We're talking about a case where he did have actual Nevela, and that's why the baking of the dough is allowed. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, Mahu lefos biyomtov avur chel hamelech. Is one allowed to bake dough for the army, for the king's army? The Gemara, as it unfolds, has a give and take structure, and in order to keep track of this, we are going to use a triangle marking. We call this a ma'akav, and with the triangle tip facing upwards, they will be she'elos, questions, and the inverted triangle will introduce tshuvos, answers. The Gemara, bo minei me Rav Huna. The question was asked of Rav Huna, hani b'nei baiga. B'nei baiga is a reference to Jewish communities that live in villages, Jews that live in villages. De ramu alaihu, it is been placed upon them an obligation, kimcha de b'nei chela, to supply, kimcha literally is flour, it's to supply baked goods for the king's armed forces. Mahu lefosa biyomtiv, can these loaves be baked for the king's forces on yomtov? Omar lehu, so Rav Huna responds, Chazina, we look at it, we evaluate. E yahavi le rifta liyanuka velo kapti, if anyone from the community would take this dough and give a loaf to one of their own children, and the army would not object, then we say kol chado v'chado, each loaf that's baked, chazia liyanuka v'shori. Then you can, when you focus on each individual loaf, you could say, well, this loaf is fit for the kid, and then when you come to bake the next loaf, so this loaf is fit for the child, and hence you would be able to bake all of the loaves, because at the time each loaf is being put in the oven, you are in theory making that loaf for your child. The Elav, if on the other hand the army officials would object, hey, that dough is allocated for us and we don't want you giving any of it to any of your children, then usher, then it would be usher to bake the loaves. Question, and you'll notice this is a long question. V'hatanya, Maisa b'Shimon HaTimni shelo bo emesh lebeis HaMedrash. There was an incident involving Shimon HaTimni did not show up to the yeshiva. He didn't show up to the Beis HaMedrash. And b'Shachris motzi Rav Yehuda ben Bava, in the next morning, Rav Yehuda ben Bava met him. Omar Loi Mipnei Malo Bosa Emesh Lebeis HaMedrash. Rabbi Yehuda asks Shimon HaTimni, why did you not come yesterday to the Beis Medrash? Omar Loi. So Shimon HaTimni answers, Baleshes Bali Reinu. A force had come to our town. Rashi says, Baleshes Chel Godol Shel Gedudei Nochrim Shemechapsin Ubol Shem Lishlo Shlal. A force of marauders, Gentile marauders that came to plunder our community. And that's Ubiksho Lachtov Eskol Ha'ir. They had the intent of plundering the city. Shochatnu Lohem Egel. And this story, of course, is taking place on Yom Tov. And we slaughtered for them a calf, Vechalnum, and we served them some veal, Upatarnum Lashalom, and we set them off in peace. In other words, we saved ourselves from being plundered by preparing a good meal of veal for the marauders. Omar Lo. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bofa said back, Toma Ani, I would be amazed im lo yotza scharchem behefsedchem. If the benefit, the schar that you had, namely that you saved your community's money, but the benefit was outweighed by the loss. That's yotza scharchem, your benefit left in favor of your loss. And the loss is the sin that you committed in slaughtering and preparing food for Gentile marauders on Yom Tov. Shari Omra Torah, the Torah says, Lochem, v'lo lo, v'dekochavim, food, malachas, are allowed for the Jewish people on Yom Tov. You cannot, as a Jew, you cannot engage in food malachas for a non-Jew. So, that having been said, Vamai, why was there a problem? Hachazi lemechal minei. The food that they prepared was fit for themselves. It's true they served it to the marauders, but it was fit for themselves. And just like we explained before, that with the baking of the loaves, since any given loaf was fit for one of the Jewish children, it made the entire baking all right. Why not say the same thing over here? Since the veal could have been eaten by anyone in the Jewish community, what they did was okay. Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef explains why that case is really different. Egel Trefo Havoy. It was a non-kosher veal. It was an egel that the animal had some type of organ defect, rendering it a trefa, and hence they couldn't have eaten from it. Question: V'ha chazi l'klovim? But still, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava so upset? Wasn't it fit to have given to the dogs? So the Gemara says why Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was upset, because Tanoi, there is in fact a machlokes Tanoim, and there is a Tana that forbids doing malachas for your animals, doing food malachas for your animals. Desanya, and here we have a Tanaic source, and on the side, under our Tat Nosei heading, the subtopic heading, we've written, there's a machlokes Tanoim, regarding the drush of the word lochem. The pasuk says, Es ach asher yochal, ach asher ye'ochel lochol nefesh, hu levado ye'oseh lochem. So the word lochem means unto you. Now the word unto you is an exclusionary term for you, yes, and for something else, no. So number one, v'lo leklovim, maybe dogs are excluded by that expression. Or v'lo lenochrim, the Gentiles are excluded by that term. So with that in mind, the fact that the egel could have been given to the dogs is not a redeeming feature. And that explains why Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was upset. Desanya, we have the Tanaic source that features this machlokes tanoim. Ach asher yeochel l'chol nefesh hu levado yeoseh lochem. The Torah forbids doing malachas on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to to sow, to write, to plow fields, to harvest things, that you're not allowed to do. However, food related matters that are directly related to the preparation of your meal, as opposed to, let's say, planting trees, that's too far removed, even though it's also food related. But food related in the sense of preparation for meals, as opposed to other malachas, only that this is allowed. Shenemar, it says, let's read this again from the beginning of the line. Mimashma shenemar l'chol nefesh, from the fact that it says you're allowed to for all nefesh, all creatures. Shomei ani afilu nefesh beimo b'mashma. Kinyan shenema, I would think that nefesh includes animals. The pasuk says regarding animals, umakin nefesh behemo yishalmeno. So you see the word nefesh referring to a behemo. So in the pasuk two lines before, where it said ach asher ochel lechol nefesh, food for all nefesh. Nefesh is associated maybe with animals as well. So that would justify doing malachas of food for animals' benefit on Yom Tov as well. Talmud Lomar Lochem, the Pasuk, therefore, our Pasuk, Shmos Yud Beis Pasuk Tezayin, also had the word Lochem. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Lochem velo leklovim. Lochem is an exclusionary term, meaning for you, but not for the dogs. Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So we dashed under my velo leklovim because this is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's objection to what they did in that community of slaughtering the calf in order to save, to preserve their money, and the idea of their action being allowed because it was fit for animals is not sufficient justification. We continue with another Tanaic opinion, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu Nefesh Behema B'mashma. Even animals are included in the allowance of the Pasuk, and the permission granted regarding food-related malachas. Im Kein Ma Talmud Lomer Lochem. So then what's excluded by the word Lochem? Lochem meaning unto you. You are allowed. For you it's allowed. For something else, no. Answer, Lochem V'lo Lov De Kechavim. The food malachas done for an idol worshipper, that would not be allowed. What do you see fit to include in the permission? Dogs, your animals, and to exclude doing on behalf of idol worshippers? Answer, Marbani esaklovim shemizonosim alecha. I include one's dogs because you are obligated to take care of your animals, so it's a food obligation that's upon you. So it comes under the realm of lochem. Umotzi ani es ha'ov dekechavim, and I exclude food malachas that a Jew would do on behalf of an idol worshipper. She'ein mezonosom alecha, their maintenance is not something that we are charged with. Everyone takes care of his own needs. So a Jew is not obligated to take care of the food needs of idol worshippers. Therefore, it doesn't come under the heter of lochem. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading under the Nosei heading. Leman de Omar lochem. According to the approach we saw that said, for you, you're allowed to do, for people, for Jews, you're allowed to do melecha seichel nefesh and not for one's dogs. Eich metaltelin sufli. How is one allowed to move around on Yom Tov, sufli, which are garine tamarim, lechiyusa, garine tamarim are date pits that animals eat. The question comes up regarding Yom Tov, moving them around on Yom Tov, and apparently from this discussion you can see we do move them around on Yom Tov, and we move them around even on Shabbos for our animals. Well, how is that allowed? Our Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. According to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili that we just saw in the Tanaic source above, that said, for you, for people, malachis are allowed, but not for dogs. Hani sufli, as we said, sufli are date pits. Lichyusa, for the benefit of one's animals. It's a type of animal feed. People, obviously, do not eat date pits. Hechi shadinon luhu, how do we throw it to the animals? Biyomtov, on Yomtov, is it not forbidden in Tiltul? Is it not something, since it's not fit for us, it has no Yomtov use, how is it that we feed it to our animals? Omar Lei, Sura of Yosef, answers, Hoyo v'chazu l'hasoka, since it can be used as fuel. As you know well, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to fire up a fire for cooking purposes. So you can use the date pits as fuel. So it has Yom Tov use. Hence, you're allowed to move it around. And if you want to feed it to your animals, go ahead. Tenach b'yaveshta. That's a good answer with regard to dry date pits. They're ready to be used as fuel. B'retivta, my equal amemar. But damp, wet, fresh type date pits that are not dried out, and yet how is that allowed? You don't think of using them ordinarily for a fire. Amale, so he answers, they are fit. Chazu lehesig godol, they're fit for a large fire. We're in the they're thrown into a large fire, the fire will initially dry them out, and then they will continue burning as fuel. Tenach b'yomtov. So this is a good explanation justifying our moving around the date pits for our animals on Yom Tov, which is a day that you can make fires and throw into it fuel. But Shabbos, my equilibrium, how is it that we move around date pits for our animals on Shabbos? Shabbos is a day in which we don't deal with fires. Answer, metatalinon luhu, agav rifta, we move them around along with a loaf of bread. In other words, you would have the date pits would be moved around along with a loaf of bread. Kiddush Shmuel, based on Shmuel's teaching, Yomar Shmuel oisa adam kol tzorchoi bepas, a person is allowed to use bread for all his needs. So, and on Shabbos we said, since along with the moving of the bread being something that is allowed, one is permitted to move it around, along with it you move the other material, the date pits. Now the semicolon marking is very important because the upcoming comment is not a reflection on what we just said, but it's a throwback to what we saw on Omid Aleph. So just to use your arrow, go back to Omid Aleph, and there you see Rav Huna responding, and with regard to the dough that was for the king's troops, can the communities bake it for the king's troops? And Rav Huna responded there, well, we look at the situation. If you would give a loaf to a child and the troops would not be opposed, so we can be lenient. So that's Rav Huna's approach. The Gemara here says, Upliga de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What that which Rav Huna said earlier is at odds with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mezamnin es hanochri b'Shabbos, ve'en mezamnin es hanochri b'Yom Tov. Gzeiro shema yarbe b'shvilo. So we've dashed underline what is of direct importance to the point here. There we saw them actually baking the loaves for the king's troops, for the non-Jewish king troops, based on an analysis that each loaf was fit for one of their Jewish kids. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you are not allowed to invite an idol worshiper on Yom Tov because you might add efforts for him, which is not allowed. So you see that he is restrictive. We continue in the Gemara. We should point out that the first halacha of Shuvan Levi said is you can invite a an idol worshiper on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a day that you're not going to be engaged in cooking or baking, even for yourself. Shabbos, it's forbidden. So there's no fear of my coming to do anything extra for the idol worshiper. However, on Yom Tov, which is a day in which you are allowed to do things for yourself, we're fearful you might do a little extra for the Nochri, for the idol worshiper. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar afilu b'Shabbos nami lo. Rav Acha says you can't invite the idol worshiper to your meal on Shabbos as well, mishum shiurei kosas, because of the that which will be left over in the bottoms of people's wine cups. Rashi explains on the in the beginning of the narrow line, shiurei kosas shel yayin shishoraba and pito, people would dunk their bread in the wine, and the after finishing the contents of that cup, so there's soggy bread left in the bottom. Umetalkalon hashamush latzniakos, and he'll end up coming to carry away the cups of wine, the cups of that which once held the wine. The shamush, the servant, will carry them away, clearing off the table. So we don't want you to have idol worshipping guests because of the cups that will be left over. So Gemara asks, Ihochi didonami? So even our cups are also us, or the soggy bread that's left in the bottom of our cups is also something that's disgusting. It's not something that has any Shabbos value. How can it be moved around? Didon chozu l'tarnagolim. Well, our residue is fit for chickens. What people will do is the shamash, the servant, will take the cup off and toss the debris, the residue in the cups to the birds, and the chickens will eat it. And therefore, it's not considered muktzah on Shabbos. Question, did hunami chozi l'tarnagolim? So have the Gentile invited, and the residue debris at the bottom of the cups that he was drinking from can also be tossed to the chickens. The Gemara says, no, didhu isuri hanoninhu. An idol worshiper who drinks wine, it makes the wine into forbidden wine. As an idol worshiper drinks his wine, he might stir it or shake it around in honor of his idol. That's called yayin nesech. And that wine and the wine residue is forbidden to benefit from. So the option of throwing it to the chickens is not available. Question, but still, it is movable. It's mutter to move it, v'litaltalinu agav kosa. Why not move it along with the cup? The cup is owned by the Jew. There's nothing wrong with the cup. It just happens to have inside of it this bread residue soaked in wine. So why can't you move it along with the cup? Mi lo omar, Rava not say, metatalin kenuna, agav kitme, afagav di ikole shivre eitzim. You're allowed to move a kenuna is a vessel that's used for holding coals. So you can move a kenuna, it's a vessel, along with the kitme is ash. Ash that's been designated for Shabbos use. People would use ash for covering saliva, spittle, for covering dung. They would use the ash. And you're allowed to move the kenuna together with the ash in there, afagav dikol ha-shivreitzim, even though there are wood twigs there as well, which are usser. So that, what do we see? We see that the movement of the cup should be allowed, even though you have the isur hano, the forbidden wine bread residue in the cup. Just like over here, we're allowing the movement of the kenuna with the ash, even though it has the the shivri eitzim, the twigs, which are not Shabbos permitted. So the Gemara says there's a difference, though. Hosam lav isure hano ninu. Hocho isure hano ninu. In the case of the kenuna agav kitme, you're not dealing with something that's forbidden to benefit from. You're dealing with simple muktzah, but it's not categorized as isuri hanoah. That's just isuri hanoah you can't benefit from on a weekday either. Here, with the case of the idol worshiper that would have eaten together with the Jew on Shabbos and creating the wine bread residue, that is asur b'hanoah. So it's more forbidden, if you will. It's more muktzah. It has less use. And therefore that explains why not to mazmin the nochri to your Shabbos meal as well. Omar le Rav Acho midifti the Ravina. Still, there's room to ask a question. Veleheve kigeref shelri'i. Why not view the wine bread residue as we look at a geref is a name of a vessel that holds human feces. Imagine a child's potty. The child's potty that's left in your living room or in your kitchen, you're allowed to pick it up and move it on Shabbos. It is disgusting. So too, based on that heter, that permission that you're allowed to remove that which is disgusting, the idol worshiper should have been able to be invited and thereby yes, creating the disgusting situation of the residue left in the cups. But it's dirty and it's filthy, it's upsetting, so you can move it on Shabbos. Omar lei. So he says back, Ravina answers, how do you compare the case of the graf shelri'i to the case of inviting the idol worshiper? Omar lei b'chi oisin gerv shelri'i l'chadchila. Are you allowed to create a situation where you are proactively making something disgusting? The case of the potty is, if it happens to be that some feces fell where you are, and you didn't plan for it to be there, so then you're allowed to get rid of that which is disgusting. But to initially proactively create a situation of that which will be disgusting, that you're not allowed to do. So you can't use the heter of Gerev Shelri'i to allow inviting the idol worshiper who will dunk his bread and create a situation of bread residue that you can't feed to the chickens because it's Yisra Na. And because of this issue, you can't invite him because you would thereby be setting up proactively a situation of Gerev Shelri'i. That's not allowed. Adabre Ravo Lamar Shmuel Vidorash. Adabre means to lead someone, to bring someone in. So he brought Rav Shmuel in and held forth and said, Mizamnin es hanochri b'shabos, v'ein mizamnin es hanochri b'yom tov. You are allowed to invite the idol worshiper to your Shabbos meal, but you're not allowed to invite him for a Yom Tov meal, because of the fear that you might do extra cooking or baking on behalf of the Nochri. Mremor Marzutra, Kihavu Mikla, Luhu Nochri B'Yom Tov. These two great figures, Mremor Marzutra, if they happen to have a guest or a Nochri came upon them, chanced upon them for Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, Amrulei, they would tell the Nochri, they would tell the idol worshiper, Ini cholach b'may detri cholon mutav. If you're satisfied with that which we have already prepared for ourselves, and we'll give you some of our food that we've made for ourselves anyway, fine. The Elo, if not, if you feel there isn't enough for you too, then just let it be known. Tircha yisera daito didach lo tarchinon. For us to do something extra on your behalf, on Yom Tov, we're not going to do that. What's interesting to note here, just parenthetically, is the communal relations, the contact that we had, our great men had with their surroundings, seems to be something that happened, that was part of life. And it could very well be that on weekdays they had meals together. But on Yom Tov, so we have this factor of the Torah saying, Lachem, for you, you're allowed to do things, for the non-Jews, you're not allowed to do. But that, just in terms of a global outlook, shouldn't shouldn't create a picture of let's say non-communication between Jews and Gentiles. Quite the opposite is the case, as you can see here in this little incident. The Mishnah. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, Chimum Mayim Letzorech Raglov, the heating up of water on Yom Tov for washing your feet, V'Hav Oras Medura L'Chimum Aguf, and the lighting of a fireplace for body heat, again, on Yom Tov. As we've said many, many times, and that's the topic of this Masichta, the issue of what you're allowed and what you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. You're allowed to light fires for baking and cooking on Yom Tov. That falls under the heter of Oichel Nefesh. How far does that heter go? So that's the topic we deal with here. Beishamai Omrim, lo yachem odom chamin l'raglov. One is not allowed to heat up water for his for bathing his feet, for washing his feet. Elohim kain ru'uyim l'shti, unless the water is also drinking water. It's fit for drinking. So once it's fit for drinking, so that would then serve as an excuse that you can heat up the water for washing one's feet. But to heat up non-drinkable water, but it's fit for washing your feet, that Beis Shammai would not allow. Beis Hillel matirin, and Beis Hillel is more lenient. They don't have that restriction that it has to be fit for drinking. Oise odom medura umeschameim kenegda. The end of the Mishnah speaks about making a bonfire and heating yourself up in its heat. Ibaya leho, the Gemara asks, Hi Madura Man Kotoni Law. Who is the author of this last phrase of the Mishnah? Divrei Hakol. Is it possibly according to everybody? And we're going to add, meaning including Beis Shammai. Vishoni Luhu Beis Shammai Bein Hanos Kol Gufo Lanos Eiver Echad. And Beis Shammai makes a distinction between a full body pleasure, as is the case when one is heating himself up. He's warming himself up, so that's like oichel nefesh, that's like food, and that is in contrast to one limb, namely water for washing your legs. There Beis Shammai is not lenient. Oy dilma, or possibly the closing phrase of the Mishnah that allowed heating a fireplace for heating yourself up, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Kotoni Lo, that's authored only by Beis Hillel, who extended the heter of oichel nefesh to even non-oichel nefesh, even non-food, but we call body pleasure is included in the heter, and hence the issue of the fireplace falls under that permission. Avol Beis Shammai lo shoni luhu, but Beis Shammai don't make a distinction between one limb and entire body heat, body warmth, and they would not allow. Toshma. So let's see from the following source an answer. Beis Shammai Omrim lo yaso the medura v'yischem kenegda. You see it black on white. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to create a fireplace for heating yourself up on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel matirin, and Beis Hillel allows. The Mishnah. Shloisha dvorim Rav Gamliel machmir kedivrei Beis Shammai. With regard to three halachas, Rav Gamliel is stringent in accordance with Beis Shammai. Before we go further, just a structural note. Contrast this Mishnah with the Mishnah on Chof Beis Amid Beis. There, the Mishnah says, in the middle of the Amid, Af hu omar shloisha dvorim lahokel. Rabban Gamliel, who presents himself here as being in accordance with Beis Shammai in stringency, he also has three leniencies that appear on Chof Beis Amid Beis, where Rabban Gamliel is lenient and the Chachomim are restrictive. So that have in mind. we start off with three stringencies that Rabban Gamliel adopts. Shloisha Dvorim, our Mishnah says, Gamliel Machmir Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Number one, Ein Toinin Es Hachamin Lechatchila B'Yom Tov. When Yom Tov precedes Shabbos, so Friday is Yom Tov, and then the next day is Shabbos, one is not to insulate food on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Another point, the Ein Zoikvin Es HaMenorah B'Yom Tov. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Rashi says, at this point, Ein Zoikvin, Mashma Afil Im Nofla Menorah Shomateches Ein Zoikvin U'Meshivin Oysa. It appears right now that if a metal menorah, a menorah candelabra fell over, you don't set it up. Number three, V'ein Oifin Pitin Gritzim Ela Rikikin. One is not allowed to bake Pitin Gritzim, reserve thick loaves. The problem here is a problem of Tircha, but rather thin ones. Omar Rabban Gamliel, Mimeim Shel Beis Abba Lo Hoyu Oifin Pitin Gritzim Ela Rikikin. Gamliel says that all the time of father, we never baked these thick loaves, rather thin ones. Omru lo, they said to Rabbi Gamliel, "Mana sila beis avicho sheyu machmir alatzim v'kiyum b'chol Yisrael." What can we do with your father, who happened to accept the personal stringency, however, was lenient with regard to everyone else? Liyos oifin pitin gritzin v'charoren, who allowed the baking of these pitin gritzim and charoren. Rashi says charoren are loaves that are baked on coals. Hechi domi, regarding the restriction of toimnin, of insulating food from Yom Tov for Shabbos, if one wants to keep food warm that he cooks up on a standard Erev Shabbos, a standard Friday, so there is a process known as hatmona, of insulating it by taking the pot in which the food was cooked and burying it in sand or wrapping it in blankets and other materials, which are elaborated upon in Maseches Shabbos. So here, when we're talking about Shabbos preceded by Yom Tov, namely Friday, is not a weekday, but rather Friday happened to coincide with a Yom Tov. What is the story? The Gemara goes on. E da'onach eruvei tafshilin. If an eruv tafshilin was prepared, an eruv tafshilin is the mechanism whereby a person prepares food from before Yom Tov, which enables him to cook and prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, which of course we've discussed in previous Shurim at great length. So if a person had prepared his Eruv Tavshilin, my time with the Beis Shammai, why the restrictive ruling of Beis Shammai? V'idalo onach Eruvei Tavshilin, my time with the Beis Hillel. And if a person didn't prepare an Eruv Tavshilin, so based upon what is Beis Hillel, lenient. Omar Rav Huna. And we have a structural note. You notice the house shape, and on the side we have our Nosei Mivne heading. The houses represent three Hesberim Lamasnis and Loma Beis Shammai Oyser and Lahatmin. Why does Beis Shammai prohibit the insulation of the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos? So, Omar Rav Huna, Li'olam Eimalachto, Shalo Heniach Eruv Tavshilin. I will tell you that Eruv Tavshilin was not prepared. Ukidei chayav shoru le rabbanon, and the minimum for a person's sustenance, the rabbis permit. Rav Huna letamei, and Rav Huna here is consistent with what he said elsewhere. Yom Rav Huna, mi shelo hiniach eruv tavshilin, someone who did not prepare an eruv tavshilin, oifen lo pas achas. So we allow baking for him of one loaf, the tomnin lo kedera achas, and we will insulate one pot of food, umivashlin lo kedera achas, and we will cook for him one pot of food on Yom Tov for Shabbos, umadlikin, we continue at the top of Chof Beis Amud Aleph, umadlikin loy es haner, and we will light a candle for him. Mishum Rabbi Yitzchok Amru, af tzoylin loy dog katan. In the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, it was said that we will also roast for him a small fish. Tanyo nami hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this. This source says essentially what we just explained, so we don't have to explain it again. Someone who didn't prepare an Erev Tavshilin, oifen lo pas achas, v'tomnin lo kedeira achas, umadlikin loy eshaner, umechamin lo ketone echad, and we heat up for him. A ketone is a type of receptacle in which water is boiled up, so we will boil up for him some water. V'yeshomrim af tzolin loy dog katan. So, in terms of what the source, what the Mishnah was talking about, where you saw the restriction of tomnin lo chamin lechatchila from Yom Tov to Shabbos, this was talking about a case of someone who didn't prepare an Eruv Tavshilin. So that, we'll call it unlimited insulation, is not something that we will allow. Rava Omar, Li'olam Shiniach. Rava's approach is that we're talking about someone who did make an Eruv Tavshilin. Now, if that's the case, so why is Beis Shammai restrictive? The shiny hatmona, the act of hatmona, is different. It's different than one whom you see cooking on Yom Tov. Someone who's cooking on Yom Tov is cooking, so what the onlooker sees a person cooking, and cooking is allowed on Yom Tov, so he might be cooking for Yom Tov. However, when you see someone on Yom Tov insulating a pot, the mukha milso da daita de shabbat of it, it's obvious that he is doing it for Shabbos. And as we've spoken extensively in previous Shiurim, Yom Tov is a day that you are, in spirit, not allowed to prepare for another day, even if that other day happens to be Shabbos. So we have a legal, let's say, a loophole for you to in fact, yes, prepare, but when it comes to Hatmona, it's too glaring that you are doing an act for Shabbos, for another day. The other acts that we allow through the Eruv Tavshilin aren't so obvious that I'm doing it for another day. Esfe Abaye. Abaye raises a question from the following source, Hananya Omer. Beishamai Omrim, Hananya quotes Beishamai as saying, Ein oifen ela imkein irev bepas. One is not allowed to bake for Shabbos on Yom Tov unless he made an Eruv out of bread. V'ein mevashen ela imkein irev betavshil. And likewise with regard to cooking, if he didn't prepare a cooked dish before Yom Tov, so he won't be allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. V'ein toimnin ela imkein hoyu lo chamin temunin me'erev Yom Tov. And the act of Hatmona will not be allowed unless he had insulated something before Yom Tov, signifying that he can then insulate things on Yom Tov for Shabbos. But what do we see from here? Ha hayu lo chamin temunin. If a person in fact did have something, some chamin, some hot food item that was insulated from before Yom Tov, miha ovid. One would, in fact, be allowed to do hatmona on Yom Tov for Shabbos. V'afagav the mucha milsa the night of the Shabbos covered, even though it is obvious that he is doing it on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So, to explain that Beis Shammai is restrictive, even though an eruv was made, if an eruv was made, we see you aren't. You're not to be restrictive. Elo Omar Abaye. Abaye explains the Mishnah and Beis Shammai's restriction. Gagon she'irev lozeh, velo irev lozeh. He made an Eruv, but only of a partial nature. He made an Eruv for baking, for cooking, but didn't make an Eruv for Hatmona. V'chananyo hi valibo de Beis Shammai. And our Mishnah is in accordance with the teaching of Chananya, who explained Beis Shammai as saying that an Eruv Tavshilin is effective only if it's made in a specific fashion, i.e., baking if you had baked, cooking if you had cooked before, and Hatmona if you had been matmin something Erev Yom Tov. So Abaye says that our Mishnah is speaking about a case where, although an Eruv Tavshilin was made, it wasn't made with Hatmona. It wasn't made having been matmin something before Yom Tov, so you don't have a right to matmin on Yom Tov for Shabbos. On the other hand, Beis Hillel will be lenient because they don't require a specificity in the making of an Eruv Tavshilin. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.